Welcome to The Savvy Session, your go-to podcast about elevating your life and business, sprinkled with a little bit of fun. This podcast is brought to you by Elevate Performance Solutions and Revolut IT Services. And now, here are your hosts, Kirsten Ramos and Paula Kircher.
Welcome back to The Savvy Session. As we continue to share stories that elevate women, we are excited today to be talking with a leading forensic accountant and to learn more about her amazing career and how she helps women going through a divorce to ask the right financial questions to get the right answers.
Today, we are joined by Tracy Conan, who has been investigating financial fraud for more than 25 years. She is the founder and owner of Sequence Inc. Forensic Accounting. Hello and welcome, Tracy.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm super excited to be here.
We are excited to have you on. Tracy, can you share a little more with us on your background and journey on how you became a forensic accountant?
So I always get asked, like, what got you into forensic accounting? And I think everyone's expecting this super exciting story. And I'm like, it's not all that interesting. I was a criminology major in college, and my goal was to become a prison warden. Oh. Right? Okay. So I'm seeing the looks on your faces. I know the audience. Right? I usually get that reaction. That's the interesting part about the story. They're like, prison warden, you know, here I am, the lady with the red hair and, you know, cute little thing. And I'm just going to be a prison warden. I really wanted to do that. I had and still have a fascination with prisons, the societies that are created within the prison walls, the dynamics there. I've always had an interest in criminal justice and is it justice? Is it not justice? And so all of that has always been a deep interest of mine. And that's where that came from. But in my criminology program, my sophomore year, there was an opportunity to take a course called Financial Crime Investigation. And you know how when you're in college, they have these courses that are offered once every 3 or 4 or 5 years. And I saw that and I'm like, that kind of sounds interesting. I'm going to use one of my electives and take that because it won't come up again before I graduate. Yeah. And sure enough, it was so interesting that I decided to change my thoughts about my career. And I started taking accounting and economics courses. Right. So I took my first accounting course, aced it. I'm like, this is awesome. And from there on out, it was forensic accounting. But we did not call it forensic accounting then, right? It was not referred to as a forensic accountant. It was just financial investigations.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, as someone that did not score very highly on their managerial accounting freshman year of college, my hat's off to you, Tracy, for also acing that and realizing, ooh, this is something I could do. And it's something that's really interesting to me. I'm going to switch gears here because I know we could talk a lot about a lot of different areas, but we all know that dollar for dollar, women still, sadly, make less than men, which could and often doesn't always, and doesn't in my household, but it could translate into more power overspending. What advice would you give women to protect themselves up front? Of course, based on what you've already seen, even if they're in a really healthy relationship.
My best advice is to get yourself some knowledge. So even if you're in a relationship where your boyfriend, your husband, your fiance is in control of the money and handles the bank account and does all of those things, get involved to some extent so that you have knowledge. And so one of the ways that I suggest to women to have that conversation where it won't feel confrontational, it won't feel negative, is to do something like this. I'm concerned what would happen if something happens to you. What if you fell ill? What if you were in a massive car accident? What if you passed away unexpectedly? I don't know enough about our money situation. I'd like to start getting a handle on where we have the money, what accounts we have, the bills that are being paid automatically every month. I think that's it would be important for me to know more about this in the event that something would happen to you. And I found that that technique is really effective because it's not confrontational, right? It comes from a place of caring.
Well, it does. That's a great approach.
Yes. And Tracy, I love that because it's even, you know, that conversation can even be had for someone who's in more, you know, it's, they're not married yet. They're in that, you know, they're now engaged, and having that conversation up front to say like, hey, we see this as an equal partnership. Let's make sure we know what each other is spending, or having different access to see those numbers, even if the decision's made to keep some joint accounts. It's more that we know where those joint accounts are. It's not more of a, hey, I'm checking up with you. It's more to your point of, if something happens to you, here's what, you know, here's, I can have access to that. I'm not scrambling saying, shoot, I don't know where that money is.
Right. I mean, if your husband is in a coma in the hospital, the last thing you need to be doing is trying to figure out, how do I get a bill paid? Right.
Right.
Or how do I get into our bank account to see if we even have any money to pay a bill?
Yep. Absolutely. Great tips for that. Thanks.
That is great tips. And Tracy, you recently created and released the Divorce Money Guide. Can you tell us more about why you created this program? And what are some of the top red flags to look for to spot financial fraud when going through a divorce?
Okay, so the Divorce Money Guide, the big reason why we met, right? Because I'm putting it out there and trying to get the word out about it. So earlier this year, I was ruminating about my business. And in my forensic accounting practice, part of my practice is helping divorcing couples sort out their money. And so typically it is people with higher earnings, higher assets, and maybe someone has suspicions about what's been happening with the money, and they call in a forensic accountant. Well, forensic accounting is expensive, right? If you're getting divorced, probably plan on putting down $10,000 to get started. And if you have a complicated situation, even more than that.
Wow.
That's not accessible to average people. And I realized this. And I was disappointed with the number of times I would have someone call me saying, I think something's wrong with the money. I'm getting divorced. I need help. But I'm having to turn them away either because they couldn't afford it, or maybe they just don't have enough money on the line to justify the cost, because there's not only the cost of me, there's also the cost of paying your attorney to go after whatever I find. And so I was thinking, gosh, I wish I had an option for people, because I feel so bad every time I say, I'm sorry, but I can't help you. Here's a couple of articles you can go read on the internet. Well, that just didn't feel like enough.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about it, and I was like, why couldn't I make a tool? Why couldn't I make some sort of guide or handbook for people to be able to start understanding their money on their own without paying me $10,000? And so I came up with the Divorce Money Guide, literally an online handbook with 10 steps to it that anyone can use, even if you're not good with numbers. And it will empower you to learn more about your money. You know, even if you don't think something has been hidden, stolen, spent inappropriately, maybe you're just in a position where you weren't involved with the money and now you want to know because you're getting divorced, but you don't know where to start. So what I've done with it is 10 steps. You don't have to do all of them. You don't have to do them in any particular order necessarily. They will walk you through the financial part of your divorce and understanding what's going to go on there and what documents you need. Then I walk you through getting your bank statements and your tax records and your credit card statements. How do you organize them? What do you do with them once you have them? What can you look for as a non-accountant to see what has been going on with the money and whether there's anything you should be worried about?
I love that. And I think that's something really important for people that are, you know, I mean, if 50% of all marriages end in divorce, you know, this is such a great tool that you provide and that you offer for people that, hey, you don't have to have me do a full investigation. You can start this. And then if they determine, whoa, there's a really big problem here, I actually do need to invest some resources in Tracy, they can do that at the time. So I love that, Tracy. Thank you for sharing that.
Yep. And I think that's great that you can do some of, like Kirsten was just saying, that you can do some of your own steps before you, you know, look to hire someone if you start to see those red flags. And what would you say would be like the top red flags for someone to look for to spot that financial fraud?
Well, so one of the steps, step number 3 in the Divorce Money Guide, is all about the red flags. And so there are so many red flags that we could talk about, and I go through all of them there. One of the great things about that step is I actually have a quiz. It's a 25-question quiz that asks you things about the finances in your marriage. Have you seen this? Have you seen that? How do you divide the duties? Who makes more money? All these types of things. And when you're done, I give you my assessment of how much risk you have as to whether something may be hidden. And of course, it's not an absolute, right? We can't do tell you an absolute just from a little quiz. But what I see in a lot of these cases is maybe the wife, you know, says to the husband, "Hey, I've seen some things and I think that you might've been doing something wrong with the money." And he says, "You're crazy. Nothing's going on. You're making things up." And part of this quiz was I wanted to help validate whether the things you've been seeing rise to that level where we would say, "Hey, there really might be something going on," or whether the things you're seeing are sort of run of the mill and you're, you know, you just gotten too suspicious of your husband, right?
Like, trust your gut sometimes, right?
Right. So let me talk, you asked about some red flags. Let me talk about just maybe a couple of them that are pretty typical that I get concerned about. And I always remind people red flags are simply warning signs. They aren't proof of fraud. So if you see the warning signs, we've got to do the work to get the proof. And that proof is somewhere in the bank statements and the tax returns and things like that. One of the things that I often see is a change in your access to information. So if you previously were able to log into the bank account and look at it at any time, and all of a sudden the password changes. Your husband's changed the password. You ask him for the password and he says, "Oh," and he has some excuse, but won't give you the new password. Says, "Don't worry about it. I've got it handled." That's odd to me, right? It is, you know, previously you had access, now you don't. Or maybe it's the bank statements always came in the mail to the house every month and suddenly they stopped. And he says, "Don't worry about it. I've got it handled." Those kinds of things concern me.
Yeah, those are great points. I didn't even think about that things, but those are ones that are like, why are they limiting me access to this information?
Yep.
It might not be anything, but it's definitely an area then that you want to investigate, like what's going on. So those are great red flags to look for.
Another one that I see is a change in how they are spending or managing money. Here's a great example. We typically don't use cash. We use our debit cards and our credit cards for most everything. You know, we have a little bit of walking around money in our pocket, but that's about it. And now your spouse has started going to the ATM and withdrawing money on a regular, you know, regular basis, once a week, twice a week, withdrawing $300, $400, $500 at a time. And you can't figure out what he possibly could be spending that on. Or maybe has even gone to the bank and withdrawn $1,000 and you don't know where that money went. We see that sometimes, right? Because cash doesn't leave a paper trail. We can't prove what anyone spent it on. When we get to this point in the divorce where we start talking about, "Hey, you were withdrawing a lot more cash than you used to," many times I'll get an answer of, "Well, yes, I started paying cash for my dinners out and for gas in my car and things like that." And I say, "Well, golly gee, I looked at the credit card statements and I see all sorts of dinners out and gas for the car there." Right. So it's either, you know, it's typically either someone is trying to salt money away for themselves and hide it so that it can't be divided in the divorce, or they're spending on something that they don't want you to know about. And that's where I talk about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Affairs, hookers, drugs, gambling are things that we often see.
Wow.
Yeah. And that really, that makes sense because, you know, a lot of the more seemingly illicit trades, cash is king in those arenas still, where everything else is plastic is king, you know, where having the electronic, having the, you know, the credit cards. So that makes a lot of sense. So thank you for sharing those.
Well, I just brightened your day with those stories, right?
I mean, this is why we have you on, because this is so fascinating to me. Just thinking of it's something, even the statements. I know a few years back, my husband and I stopped getting statements sent to our house because we just have them electronically. So, but asking that question of, "Whoa, where are the statements?" And of course, since I control everything, bill paying and everything in my household, I was able to say, "Oh, we no longer get those. They're in our account. They're electronic. You can access them. No passwords were changed," just in case anybody listening was wondering. but that said, that conversation happened. It's not a big deal. But if I started to see, "Ooh, there's a lot of cash being taken out And I'm not seeing it in our kind of our petty cash at home, you know, like you mentioned, the walking around cash that we all have. I'm not seeing any influx of cash there. That could be a very big red flag. And as someone who likes to hit some slots occasionally, my husband and I talk about that. It's like, hey, I'm withdrawing some money because I'm going to go to the casino. Great, we know that. But if all of a sudden the money was withdrawn and we weren't talking about going to the casino, or weren't talking about it, but someone was going, that might be a problem.
Well, so I always like to give three red flags. And so you gave me a great segue to the third one that I'll give you.
Love it.
Someone spending money in a way that goes against the agreements you have as a couple. So most couples have some sort of agreement that if we're going to spend more than X dollars, we talk about it first.
Yep.
And when one spouse starts violating that, I get really, really concerned.
Yep. And I think,
you guys talk about the money for the casino. You say, hey, I'm going to go do the thing.
Great. Right.
If you started doing that without saying anything to your husband, I would be worried if I were your husband.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And great. When he listens to this, he'll be like, wait a minute. Let me think back. Should I be worried?
Right. Well, and then let's just go back for a second on the bank statements, right? So It is now typical that people aren't having the statements mailed to their house because who wants the paper, right?
Right.
If that is your situation where the statements stop coming and your spouse says, oh yeah, I went to all electronic, ask, where could I go to download them? Or could you please download me a statement? I'd like to look at the statement every month. Right. Yeah. And if you get a negative response there, warning, danger.
Yeah.
Because there should be no reason that it's not transparent.
If you already had the access when it was paper, you should still have the access if it's digital. So it should remain the same that you can.
Well, it's just good record keeping. I download my statement every month and keep it in a folder because if I ever need those statements, they're right there. And you know, I never have to worry that I go log on and I need a statement from 3 years ago. And the bank says, oh, sorry, we only give you access to the last year.
That's a great point.
Right. Well, I mean, even when you're trying to secure, you know, a home loan or anything, a large purchase, a lot of times they require some back statements. So depending on how long, to your point, Tracy, it's good to keep those in your own files downloaded. Excellent. Well, Tracy, I have one last question for you, and it's one that we're asking all of our podcast guests on the Savvy Session. And that is, what do you believe is your superpower? If you were to say you know, you have one, and how does it help you succeed in what you do?
So this is an awesome question. My superpower has always been making numbers understandable by anyone. So as a forensic accountant, I do expert witness testimony and I'm in front of judges and juries and, you know, I have to assume they have no accounting training whatsoever. And I also have to assume they might've been bad with numbers in school. And so I'm taking cases that are sometimes really complicated and having to break it down for them in a way that anyone can understand. And so I've always been really, really good at that in my job. And what was awesome was I was able to take that skill and translate it into the divorce money guide. You know, I keep telling people, anyone who's not good with numbers can follow these 10 steps. They can, you know, they can pick the step that's important to them and it's super easy to follow. You don't have to be good with numbers at all. So it was fun to be able to take that skill and use it for another related purpose.
And Tracy, I love that because not only are you able to distill it down, but you're able to distill it down in a way that's not condescending to the receiver. And I think that's such a furtherance of your superpower is that you can speak it in terms anyone can understand and explain it in terms everyone can understand, but they don't leave the conversation or the situation feeling that you were condescending. So love that superpower. And I'm certain that there are many, many grateful recipients of the divorce money guide that are grateful for that superpower.
We've been getting such fabulous feedback. It's only been out for a little over a month and the rave reviews, the gratefulness, it's been so gratifying. People laugh because you say, if I can help just one person. I mean, that's really how I looked at it. Like if I could just help one more person, I could help before,
but
then the number of people that we're helping is like so exciting. So I'm just looking forward to getting the word out to more people because there's never been a tool like this before. So, yeah. You know, people don't even know something like this exists. I mean, people are going through the divorce process and their attorney is telling them, well, you can't really afford a forensic accountant. So there's really nothing we can do. And I don't like that answer. I want there to be something they can do.
No, I'm so excited. When I saw that you had announced that you're releasing this, I'm like, we have to share this story because we want to get this word out because it is a great resource and it's a great guide and tool for women. So appreciate you putting that out there and sharing it with fellow women.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for having me and helping to get the word out.
Yeah. Well, Tracy, it has been so great talking with you and learning more about forensic accounting. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story with us. To learn more about Tracy and her divorce money guide, please go to thesavvysession.com for more details. Join us next time as we continue to share more stories on business, life, and fun.